If you would, please turn with me to the book of Daniel, which if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find it on page 630. I'm going to read selected portions of this passage of Scripture. We're not going to read it all, but it's a great passage of Scripture. If you have an opportunity to read it, I would encourage you to do so. But we're going to go to Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5, and then 16 and 17, then 19 through 22, and then finally verse 26. And it reads, and God's word reads this way. It says, "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, and with the administrators over them, one of them was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds and charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" And on down to verse 16. "So the king gave an order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you.' And the stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and then with the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed." In verses 19 through 22, we read these words. "And at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?' And Daniel answered, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king.'" And verse 26, my favorite verse in this passage of Scripture, it says this. King Darius says this, "I issue a decree in every part of my kingdom. People must fear and revere the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end." It's a great passage of Scripture. Bring that out a little bit more and talk about an individual who stood on the authority of God's word and changed the culture that he lived in. Tonight we're going to look at an individual who stood on the authority of God's word at one point in his life, and then he decided later on in his life that he would make his own decisions, that he would use his own intellect, his own knowledge to make a decision in his life, which later kind of destroyed his life. But there's several people that we can think of who stood on the authority of God's word and changed the culture in which they lived in, but I thought of Daniel. Daniel just is a wonderful man, and we read in the scriptures here of why they say that. But I want you to go with me back to Daniel chapter 1 for a moment. We're not going to read it. I'm going to kind of tell you the story. And then we're going to go back to chapter 6, and both of these kind of tell the same type of story about Daniel and how, because of him standing on the authority of God's word, that he was able to change the culture in which he lived in. And I want to submit to you today that if we stand as believers, if we stand on the authority of God's word, that we can change the culture that we live in. I truly believe that. But we have to stand on the authority of God's word in order to do it. And Daniel did that. If you go back to chapter 1, you read about Daniel coming into Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar being there, and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were chosen to be officials within the kingdom. And the king had ordered that all of the all of these guys be given the king's food, which was the best food you could eat. I mean, it was 10 times better than what the common person was eating. And the king ordered that these men eat that food. And when Daniel went in and saw what was laid out on the table, he looked at the person that was in charge of him and he said, "We can't eat this. This food that you have in front of us, God said, is not clean for us to eat. We cannot eat it." And he based that off of God's word, which in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, we read of the dietary laws that God had set in place for the nation of Israel. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were Jewish men. And they knew what those dietary laws were. And they saw the food that was laid out in front of them, and they said to the official that was in charge of them, "We can't eat this. Let us eat the vegetables and the fruit and drink some water. And then you check us out in the time period that the king has given to us. And if we are worse off than the men who ate the king's food, then you can do with us whatever you want. You can kill us, whatever." Now, the guard was a little nervous about this because this was the king's order. The king's order was that these men eat this food. But he had respect for Daniel. And he admired Daniel. He says, "Okay, we're going to give you that. We're going to allow you to have that opportunity of doing what you want to do and all of those things." And after the time period, the 10 days was up and they were brought before the king, and the king saw them, and they looked healthier than the ones that ate the king's food. And later on in Daniel, it says that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were far more intelligent than anyone else who he had in his kingdom that he went to for advice. And I truly believe that these men were more intelligent than anybody else because they stood on the authority of God's word. They followed God's word. God gave them the intelligence of that. God gave them the ability to understand the things that they needed to understand, to understand science and astronomy. And we know later on in the book of Daniel, Daniel actually is able to interpret dreams and to tell the king what a dream means. And he's able to help him to get through some things and help him to understand the things of the dreams that he has. And then what we read in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel again is challenged in his faith. He's challenged to worship another god besides Yahweh, besides Jehovah, besides the God who created the world. He's challenged by the king, Darius, to worship another god. And so what does Daniel do? Well, we didn't read that part, but Daniel actually goes and he prays to God instead of to Darius. And this is how the officials were able to get him and cause him some problems in his life. It's interesting, in Daniel chapter 6, we read that the officials could find no corruption in Daniel. Oh, to have a leader who has no corruption in their lives. Daniel, they couldn't find any. So they had to create something in order to catch him in corruption. And if you read in the passage of Scripture, it says that we need to create something. We need to base charges against this man, Daniel, that have to do with the law of his God. So it tells us that they knew God's law. And they knew that Daniel would not pray to any other god or any other person except the God. And so they had him. And the Bible tells us that he was thrown in the lion's den, and we know the rest of it, that Daniel came out well and came out fine and actually without a scratch on him. And the king was amazed in that. And so this is where we pick up at. That we need to make a stand or take a stand on the authority of God's Word by obeying the Word of God. Daniel knew that the Word of God said that the food that the king was going to offer him was not good. The Levitical law said that this is not healthy food. You cannot eat it. You should not eat it. And Daniel said, we're not going to eat that because we can't. We're not allowed to. Allow us an opportunity to do this. And we'll show you that our God, who takes care of us, is going to make us healthier than the ones that eat the king's food. We're going to show you that God's word is true by this one act that we're going to do. That's what he was saying to them. And then later on in Daniel chapter 6, where he boldly stands up against the king and is thrown into the lion's den, and we see that God protected him. And it's Daniel says, and later on in chapter 6 there, that he says that I, because I did nothing wrong before God or before you, O king. So Daniel was able to take a stand by obeying God's word, and by standing on the authority of God's word, he was able to change the culture in which he lived. And we're going to see how he did that in just a moment. But in Joshua 23:8, we read these words. It says this. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. So in the culture that we live in, and where we are, and the things that are going on around us, and how we are told that God's word is not important, or that we don't need to stand on the authority of God's word in order to do things or to make things happen, or you know what, you just need to let that pass because you're being a bigot, or you're being intolerant if you don't allow these things to take place, because you know, God's word is not that important. But we need to stand on the authority of God's word and say, and hold fast to the Lord, it says in Joshua 23, verse 8. Hold fast to him and allow God's word and allow the authority of God's word to make us take a stand and say, this is not right. Do you know that the church was responsible for changing a lot of culture in its day? In England, William Wilberforce stood before the Parliament in England and stated that slavery was wrong. And they were able to abolish slavery. Here in the United States, the church has come together and done some things in order to stop things from happening within our culture. Because they stood on the authority of God's word. And they were able to change the culture that they live in. It's important for us to understand that when we take a stand in obeying the word of God. If God's word says that it's not right, then we need to take a stand and say it's not right. Not step back and say, well, you know, we're going to let this one slide. Or we're going to let this one go. That's not what God's word says. We are to take a stand in what we believe and what we know is true. We need to take a stand in challenging authority. The authority that is being unfair. Daniel took a stand in the authority that was being unfair to him by serving him food that he wasn't allowed to eat. And he took a stand. He says, God's word said that this food is not healthy for us. And so allow us to eat these things and drink water, and we'll show you how effective God's word can be, and we're going to be healthier than the ones that ate the king's food. In our culture, we're asked to accept things that are contrary to God's word. And we need to challenge that authority that says to us that, no, this is okay, even though it's against God's word. And if we challenge that authority, we're going to be able to change the culture and to change the things in this culture that towards godly things. What is amazing about Daniel and his challenge of authority is he did it with respect. He stood before the guard that was in charge of him, and he said, you know what? This is not appropriate. Just give us the 10 days with the things that we have, the fruits and the vegetables, and see if we're healthier than the ones that eat the king's food. He gave him that option. Now, the guard could have said, no, you've got to eat it. But he respected Daniel. And I think that when we challenge authority and we're respectful in the way we do it, that we're going to go a whole lot further than if we just stand there and yell and scream at them and call them names and you know, do the things that get them even more upset. But if we show them with respect of what God's Word says and why we believe what we believe, I think we can change the culture in which we live in. I truly do. I truly believe that. In the book of Acts, we read where Peter, go there with me, Acts chapter 5. I want to show you again. He didn't necessarily change the culture, but he definitely made a statement. Acts chapter 5. We're going to go back to chapter 5, verse 27. They're before the high priest and the Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Court of its day. And in verse 27, they said, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to answer the questions by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, the name of Jesus. We gave you strict orders and not to teach in the name of Jesus, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man. Daniel was challenged with the dietary laws and with worshiping another god, and he challenged the authorities that he was there. Peter and the apostles were told not to preach about Jesus Christ, and they were given specific instructions by the master to go and to preach the gospel and to tell people about Jesus and to make disciples in his name. And they were saying to the leaders of that day, look, it is better for us to obey God than to obey man. If we stand on the authority of God's word, we can go to those who are making decisions and saying things and saying that this is what we think is right for this country, and we can say to them, we do not believe that as believers. We believe in the authority of God's word, and God's word says this. We look at abortion. And we say, God's word says that life is precious. Life is wonderful. The Bible tells us that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. The word of God says that we have a purpose in this life and in this world. And the church stood up. And in some cases, there were some folks who did it in a non-respectful way, and it's caused some friction. But if we stand on the authority of God's word and we go to those in authority who are making decisions and causing things for us to happen, that we're like, well, this isn't what God's word says. But if we do it with respect and show them what God's word says, I truly believe we can change the culture that we live in. There's no doubt. Daniel, if we go back to Daniel, he changed the culture that he lived in. If we go back to Daniel chapter 1 and chapter 6, we see that in regards to the dietary laws, when they saw how healthy he was, the king says, you guys can eat whatever you want. I'm not going to make you eat the food that I have for you. And the king found that they were more intelligent than anybody else. Why? Because they lived on the authority of God's word. And they based everything they did on the authority of God's word. The second thing we find in changing the culture, and this is the absolute fantastic thing that I've seen in this, both of these passages of Scripture, chapter 1 and chapter 6. Go with me to chapter 6 again. And begin at chapter 25. I want you to see something. Chapter 6, verse 25, sorry. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and revere the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." And then verse 28. "So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus and the Persians." Because of Daniel standing up and standing on, taking a stand on the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God, he was able to change the king's mind and change the culture that he lived in. He was able to make the king make this decree that said that we are going to start to revere and honor and fear the living God. Not the false gods that we have, but the living God. If we as believers take an opportunity to stand on the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God, we're going to be able to change the culture that we live in. The culture of where we work. In my case, the hospital. In your case, wherever you may work. You can change the culture where you work by standing on the authority of God's Word. Why do I know that? Because when I stand on the authority of God's Word, and they see that, and they see that my character and who I am, and that I'm not different, and that I don't change by who I'm around, there's respect that's given to me. And they give me that respect. And to the point that when I go into a room and I hear them swearing and telling stories that aren't appropriate, they stop immediately because of the respect that they have for me. So we can change the culture where we live by standing on the authority of God's Word. Young people, you can change the high school where you are by standing on the authority of God's Word. By saying to people, "That's not what God's Word says." You can change that. College kids, you can change the college where you are by standing on the authority of God's Word. I truly believe that. Because it took one person, Daniel, actually four with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because we remember the story of the fiery furnace. But it took these guys to prove to them that with respect and with honor and with dignity, that they could change the culture that they lived in by standing on the authority of God's Word and letting them know that God's Word was true. God rescued them from the fiery furnace. God rescued Daniel from the lion's den. God made them healthy by just eating fruits and vegetables. Healthier than the ones that were eating the king's food. The king saw this and he was amazed. We can change the culture that we live in because we stand on the authority of God's Word. I want you guys to understand that God's Word is powerful and effective. I want you to go out of here today understanding that if we stand on that authority of God's Word, we can do some amazing things as believers and as a church. You believe that? You believe God's Word is true? You believe in the authority of God's Word? Then what we need to do as believers is to go out and show people the authority of God's Word and show them that God's Word is true by the way we live, by the way we act, by the way we challenge things that, that are culturally are normal in our society. We can be like Daniel and change our culture by standing on the authority of God's word. Would you please stand? Father, as we come to you this morning, I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for the authority of your word and what it means to us. And Lord, we need to take a stand on that authority. Lord, we need to challenge authority when we need to, with honor and respect and dignity. We need to make changes where we can by showing people what your word says about the things that they want to change and the things that they say are right when we know that they're not. Father, I pray for everyone here that is listening and those that are listening on the CDs and those that are listening on the internet, that every one of us takes an opportunity to trust God's word, trust your word as to what it says, and to stand on that authority and to make those changes in our culture and in our lives. And Father, we're going to give you all the honor and glory and praise for everything that happens from us doing that. And we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take an opportunity, just as reflection, if you need to come and kneel and pray, you can do that. We're going to sing this hymn, number 436. And we're just going to take a moment of reflection and think about how you, as a believer, can take the authority of God's word where you are and change the culture where you live. You can do it. It can happen. And I believe that.